Jaya Radha Madhava Kunj Vihare. Kape Jana Balava Kiri Varathare. Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, first chapter, first verse. Narayanam namaskritya.
Narayanam namaskritya.
Naram cheva
narottamam.
Devim sarasvatim vyasam.
Devim sarasvatim vyasam.
Tato jayam udirayet.
Tato jayam udirayet.
Nashtapayesha
bhadreshu.
Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya.
Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya.
Bhagavati Uttama Shloke.
Bhagavati Uttama Shloke.
Bhaktir Bhagavati Nashtiki.
Bhaktir Bhagavati Nashtiki.
So I'm just going to chant through the Sanskrit myself to save time today, because it's a very long verse. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Janmaryasya yatan vayari teratas chartes vavikya svarat tene brahma hidaya adikavaye muhyanti yat suraya teja vari mirang yatha vinimaya yatra chisargo misha dhamna svena sadanirasta guhakam Satyam Pram Timari. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. O my Lord, Shri Krishna, son of Vasudev, O all-pervading personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. I meditate upon Lord Shri Krishna because he is the absolute truth and the primeval cause of all causes, of the creation, sustenance, and destruction of the manifested universes. He is directly and indirectly conscious of all manifestations, and he is independent, because there is no other cause beyond him. It is he only who first imparted the Vedic knowledge unto the heart of Brahmaji, the original living being. By him, even the great sages and demigods are placed into illusion. As one is bewildered by the illusory representations of water seen in fire or land seen on water. Only because of him do the material universes, temporarily manifested by the reactions of the three modes of nature, appear factual, although they are unreal. I therefore meditate upon him, Lord Shri Krishna, who is eternally existent in the transcendental abode, which is forever free from the illusory representations of the material world. I meditate upon him, for he is the absolute truth. Mukam karati vachalam bhangam langhate girim yakipam tamam vande shri gurum dinacharanam om jnana timanandasya jnananjana shalakaya Chakshurmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pishtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pachayine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati explained this verse for 3 months. So we're going to give you a summary of his explanation, concise version of this verse. This is Vyasadeva's introduction to the Srimad Bhagavatam. Actually, the introduction consists of three verses, first three verses of Bhagavatam. And from these three verses, the whole Bhagavatam expands. Vyasadeva wrote the Vedas, Upanishads, Mahabharat, Vedanta Sutra. Great achievement. Great scholars today, they're studying their whole lives and they cannot understand. But he was unsatisfied, even though he did such a great achievement. So just then, his spiritual master, Narada Muni, came and he said to Vyasadeva, "Are you satisfied by accepting your body or your mind as the goal of self-realization?" Vyasadeva said, "I don't know. You're my guru, you tell me. You're supposed to know. You know everything. You know my heart. You tell me what's wrong. I don't know what's my problem." So Narada said, "Your problem is you have forgotten Krishna. This is your problem. You have greatly glorified dharma, artha, kama, moksha. But Krishna, not very much. Those words which do not glorify Krishna are like a place of pilgrimage for crows." So then we find in this first canto, fifth chapter, the instruction which Narada Muni gave to Vyasadeva. He said, "Oh Vyasadeva, your vision is completely perfect, Amoghadrik. Your good fame is spotless, Shuti Shrava. And you are firm in vow, Dvitavrata. Not only that, you're truthful. You're situated in truthfulness, Satyavrata. So you can think of the pastimes of the Lord in Samadhi for the benefit of the people. In general, you can liberate them by meditating on the pastimes of the Lord." He said, "Samatina nusmarata dvicheshtitam." Those were his very words. So then, Vyasadeva took the instruction of Narada Muni. He sat down in his cottage on the bank of the Saraswati, began to meditate, just as his spiritual master told him. He said in Bhagavatam, "Bhakti yogena manasi samyak pranihite male." And then what did he see in his meditation? Apashyat purisham purnam, Krishna. He saw Krishna in his meditation, along with Maya, who was behind, under full control. And not only that, he saw all the living entities suffering, and the illusion and the misconception that they are this body. Even though they are not the body, they're way beyond, they're spiritual. But this was their suffering. So Vyasadeva, if he was feeling compassion, he said, "Only by devotional service can these people be relieved from their suffering. Anartha upashamam sakshat bhakti yogam adhokshche." This is the only way. So therefore, he was thinking, how can I engage them? So he wrote Srimad Bhagavatam. This was his contribution to liberate. And if you hear Bhagavatam, you're free from lamentation, fear, and illusion. So now in this verse, Vyasadeva is meditating on Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Satyam Param, Absolute Truth, along with the spiritual and material energies. By using the word dhimahi, it's the last word in the verse, dhimahi, he is inviting us to meditate along with him. According to the Sandarbhas of Srila Jiva Goswami, this word dhimahi actually is also plural, means we, let us meditate on the Absolute Truth. So here, Vyasadeva is inviting us. And he is also revealing in these first three verses his meditation on Lord Krishna, especially this first verse. We are getting a glimpse of what Vyasadeva's meditation was when he sat down to meditate. So, dhimahi, let us all meditate on Krishna. Vyasadeva is performing bhakti along with his disciples, just like you see here in this Vrindavan temple. You see a mother comes to the temple. She has a kid in one hand. She has another kid on her shoulder, another kid in the stomach. She offers obeisances. All the kids go with her. So in the same way, Vyasadeva has us by the hand, one on the shoulder, and we're offering obeisances. He's taking us down with him to offer obeisances to Lord Shri Krishna. So we should follow him. Srila Prabhupada also, Srila Prabhupada quoted this verse on the disappearance day of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati in Gorakhpur, 1971. He was trying to train up his disciples how to do Pushpanjali. So he said, "Okay, you offer the flowers, this Pushpanjali you offer, this is how you do it, you say the mantras, we shall together offer flowers." Prabhupada said, "Actually, this is my worship. I should do it, but I'm doing it. I'm offering my prayers along with my family members, Sagoshti." So this is what is happening here. Prabhupada quoted the verse, Dimahi. Said Vyasadeva says, Dimahi, he's offering his prayers Sagoshti with his family members. So all of us are family members of Srila Vyasadeva, Srila Prabhupada. So this verse is inviting us to come and join Vyasadeva in his meditation on Lord Shri Krishna. Srila Prabhupada describes in the purport that the word Dimahi represents Gayatri Mantra. And he explains why Vyasadeva invokes Gayatri Mantra here in this verse. This is paragraph 5 of the purport, in case you want to follow along. I'll just read some of it, not the whole thing. Because the topics of Krishna's pastimes are confidential, Srila Vyasadeva therefore gives the reader the chance to gradually develop spiritual realization before actually relishing the essence of the pastimes of the Lord. Therefore, he purposely invokes a Gayatri mantra, Dimahi. This Gayatri mantra is meant for spiritually advanced people. When one is successful in chanting Gayatri mantra, he can enter into the transcendental position of the Lord. One must therefore acquire brahminical qualities or be perfectly situated in the quality of goodness in order to chant Gayatri mantra successfully and attain to the stage of transcendentally realizing the Lord, his name, his fame, his qualities. So we are chanting these verses as purification so that we may enter into the highest pastimes of Lord Krishna. In the beginning, Lord Brahma received this Gayatri mantra from Krishna. Therefore, it is said, Tene Brahma Hida Ya Adikavaye. Not only Gayatri, he received Chatushloki Bhagavatam from Lord Krishna. When Brahma was first born, he didn't know anything. He was completely in ignorance. He was looking around. He couldn't find the source of his creation. And then he heard the words, Tapa. So he took it seriously. Prabhupada, in a lecture, explained, outside, and he heard the words tapa. In the heart, he heard, you should now begin your tapasya. So he was getting instruction in the heart at the same time. Prabhupada explained this in a lecture. So we find another description in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where how Brahma received Gayatri Mantra, that Gayatri appeared from the flute of Lord Krishna, and it entered the ears of Lord Brahma, and then it came out from his mouth. So then he became initiated. So the vibration of Krishna's flute, Prabhupada says in the purport, is the origin of the Vedic hymns. Therefore, we can understand the origin of Srimad Bhagavatam also, from Krishna's flute. Now, how is Bhagavatam related to Gayatri? Can you take this thing off here, this first thing, Prashanta? Yeah. And just take that top flip chart off. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prakashananda Saraswati asked Lord Chaitanya to explain Vedanta Sutra. No, take the whole thing off. There's another one underneath. Yeah, right. So this is explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. He says that Om is the root of Vedic knowledge. It is known as Mahavakya, supreme sound, and whatever meaning is found in Om is further expanded in Gayatri. And whatever you find in Gayatri is further understood in Chatushloki. So in the beginning, Lord Brahma explained the Chatushloki to Narada, Narada explained it to Vyas, then Vyas took the Chatushloki and he expanded it into Srimad Bhagavatam. So Prabhupada says, therefore the conclusion is that Brahma Sutra is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. So Srimad Bhagavatam is an explanation of Om, explanation of Gayatri, explanation of Chatushloki, Srimad Bhagavatam. When Lord Krishna left this planet, just before he left, he also explained Chatushloki to Uddhava. When he was at Dwarka, Krishna told Uddhava, you please go to Bhadrikashram. Yes. Chatushloki the origin is Krishna, of course. But this is not, I'm not explaining the origin. I'm saying that Chatushloki is an expansion of Gayatri. It means like an explanation. Expanded explanation of Gayatri is Chatushloki. The origin is actually Lord Krishna who spoke it to Brahma. And then again he spoke it to Uddhava at the end of his appearance here on earth. When he was at Dwarka, he told Uddhava, you please go to Barikasham. I'm giving you a message for Narayana Rishi and all the devotees there. So Uddhava, he wasn't like Vyasadeva. He didn't immediately follow his guru's instructions. He didn't immediately go to Barikasham. Instead, he followed Krishna. He told Vidura, I was feeling too much separation. I couldn't leave him. I had to follow him. So then he followed Krishna. And he saw Lord Krishna sitting under a small banyan tree, meditating, ready to leave this world. So then the Lord said to Uddhava, in the beginning, I explained this Charushloki to Lord Brahma. So Uddhava begged, you please explain it to me also. So Lord Krishna then explained Chatushloki to Uddhava, and he gave even more confidential knowledge than he had done before. So Prabhupada explains that Uddhava, after he heard Lord Krishna explain this Chatushloki, he felt great separation from Krishna. And Prabhupada gives one statement here, unless one is awakened to the stage of Uddhava, everlastingly feeling separation of the Lord and transcendental love as exhibited by Lord Chaitanya also, one cannot understand the real import of the four essential verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, there you have it. Unless you're feeling great separation from Krishna, you can't understand the import. So my question to you, all you learned scholars in the audience, O best of the Brahmins, what hope is there for us? How can we understand Bhagavatam? How is it possible? We're definitely not on the level of Uddhava. What hope is there? Can anybody answer that question for me? Where is the hope? Are we hopeless? Hopeless cases? Yes, Haribhusha. Yes. Yes, the mercy of his devotees and Lord Krishna. Mercy of Lord Krishna comes through the devotees. So, we are so fortunate. We have got the purports of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada has understood the purport. Prabhupada has understood the import of Bhagavatam. We can read his purports and we can also understand because he has digested it for us. Even though we're not feeling everlastingly separation from Lord Krishna. Still, of course, we aspire for that. It's not that it's out of the region of hope, but actually we have the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. The essence, what is the essence? Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojan. We establish our relationship with Krishna, we act in that relationship, and we develop love of Godhead, Prema, Pumartha Mahan. So I have given you a brief introduction. Now, I would like to join, like all of us, to join Vyasadeva in his meditation on Lord Krishna in this verse. Pishanta, can you please turn it over for me? Yeah. So this verse is an introduction consisting of three parts. This is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, first chapter. Mangalacharan. These first three verses are Mangalacharan, an auspicious invocation to Srimad Bhagavatam, to the book, and also to our study. And this will also help us to enter into Srimad Bhagavatam. The first thing is Vastu Nirdesh, the subject of the book. The second is Ashirvad, benedictions. And the third is Namaskar, obeisances. This is Adi Lila, you want to know the quote. Adi Lila, first chapter, 22nd verse. This is described by Krishnadas Kaviraj. This is Mangalacharan. So we have these three parts of our first three verses, although they do not correspond to the three verses. We'll see how they come later on. Now, before we begin our discussion on this verse, on this particular verse of Bhagavatam, I would like Prashanta Mataji to please sing the first three verses, sing the Mangalacharan for us. This is so we can meditate on this verse in Sanskrit first, and then we will discuss. First of all, Vyasadeva offers his obeisances. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Then he explains the subject of this book, Vastu Nirdesh. That is Krishna and his abode and his energies. So he begins, Janmadyasya Yataha. He begins his commentary in Vedanta Sutra with Janmadyasa Yataha, which is also found in the beginning of Vedanta Sutra, the second verse. There, he did not say upon whom to meditate. He did not say from whom everything is emanating. He said, Om Janmadyasa Yataha, Om. That's what he said. So this time, he's making sure nobody gets bewildered. The Mayavadis, they say, yes, Om. Om, Janmadyasa Yataha. Everything is coming from Om. Here you have it, Vedanta Sutra. It's Om. Krishna is coming from Om. Incarnations are coming from Om. Everything's coming from Om. So, therefore, this time he said, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. It's Vasudevaya. It's Vasudev from whom everything is emanating. Not Om. Not simply Om. I meditate upon Lord Shri Krishna. Vasudev, the all-pervading one, who is also Vasudev, the son of Vasudev. So this is Krishna. Absolute truth. In the introduction, Srila Prabhupada makes a distinction between God and the Absolute Truth. The Absolute Truth is that from whom everything is emanating. So this is what is being described here. God is the controller. This verse is describing the Absolute Truth. Janmadyasya taha. In Bhagavatam, we will learn how everything is emanating from Krishna. Krishna's too Bhagavan Swayam. Material energy, spiritual energy, living entities, Paramatma, incarnations, everything. And it all begins with creation. We'll hear about creation a lot in the second and the third cantos. Why does Krishna create? And why does he create us? Of course, we're not created, we're eternal. But the question arises, why does he create? What is the purpose? It is said, there is one answer, Eko Bahu Syam. The one became many. But why did the one become many? What is the reason? O best of the Brahmins, can you tell me? Give me your learned opinion. What's that? Yeah, Krishna wants to enjoy. Yes, does anybody else have any other learned opinions here? Variety, good. There's variety of enjoyment. Yes. So, that is the reason. Krishna wants to enjoy. He wants to expand his family. He's a family man. We're all in his family. So he wants to expand. In Vedanta Sutra in the 12th verse, it says, Anandamayo Vyasat. He is full of happiness. And what is this happiness? The happiness is the exchange of love between Krishna and the living entities. Krishna wants to enjoy relationships just like we do. And that's why he expands. And that's why he creates. And that's why he comes here, to bring us back to that relationship. That's why he creates this world, to give us a chance. Conditioned souls who have forgotten him, give him a chance. Give us a chance to go back. In the third canto, it's described, Krishna is feeling some lacking when there is no creation. So, just like a husband feels lonely in the absence of his wife, so Krishna wakes up his sleeping Maya Shakti so she can enjoy like the rest of his wives. Srila Prabhupada says about this, in this connection, the whole process of creation is to enliven the sleeping conditioned souls to the real life of spiritual consciousness so they may become as perfect as the ever liberated souls in the Vaikuntha Lokas. He wants everyone to take part in his blissful Rasalila, Prabhupada said. So this is the purpose of Janmadyasa Yataha. This is the purpose of Krishna expanding into everything so he can enjoy and we can enjoy with him. Anandamaya Vyasa doesn't mean just Krishna's alone enjoying. It means we're enjoying with him. He's also Abhigya. Abhigya is second to the last word and in this verse. Although he creates everything, everything's coming from him, still he's conscious. He's a person. He doesn't lose it. He doesn't lose it when he creates. Mayavadis say, no, it's not possible. If you expand, then you can't be a person. If you're all-pervading, it's not possible to be a person. Krishna can do it. There is a verse in Isha Upanishad which says this. Can anybody give me that verse? Om Purnamada Purnamidam Shate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnam Eva Vishishate means everything's coming from him. And although everything's coming from him, he remains the balance. 1 minus 1 equals 1. This is spiritual mathematics. So Prabhupada explains that he knows everything. Abhigya, conscious, also he knows everything. He's conscious of everything, past, present, future, everyone's heart, every nook and corner. In the purport, this is in paragraph 2, Prabhupada says, whatever happens to the body quickly becomes known to the embodied. Similarly, the creation is the body of the absolute whole. Therefore, the absolute knows everything directly and indirectly that happens in the creation. And although everything emanates from him, still he is svarat. He's independent. He's not attached. We create something, we're very attached. I am the author of this book. I am the builder of this house. But he creates everything and he's not attached in the least. He is independent. We are dependent. Everything else depends on him. Without Krishna, we cannot see. Without Krishna, we cannot eat. Without Krishna, we can't do everything. You learned this in Bhagavad Gita. Unless Krishna sees, we cannot see. So we are dependent on him. Unless Krishna breathes, we cannot breathe. In the beginning of creation, everything was there except the Lord, so nothing could happen until he entered. So he's completely independent. But still, he feels compassion for us. Although he's independent, he comes here to bring us back. Although he's enjoying his spiritual world, his Radharani's spiritual world, still he comes here to enlighten us. Therefore, it is said, the second line, Tene Brahma Hida Ya Adikaviye. He comes. He gives knowledge in the heart of Brahma, so we do not forget him. So he reminds us. He comes as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There is a very beautiful verse. Maharaj, do you know this verse, 11th canto, about Mahaprabhu, he chasing the conditioned souls. Mayamrigam, there it is. Mayamrigam daityepsita anvadavad. The conditioned souls are chasing after the illusory energy, and Lord Chaitanya is chasing after them. So this is how much Krishna cares for us. He comes here. Daitya. Anyway, he's merciful. He's very merciful. That's why he gives knowledge to Brahma. So we don't forget. But still, even though he gives knowledge, we're bewildered. We're very small. He's coming. His pure devotees like Brahma, Srila Prabhupada, he's trying to deliver us. Still, we're bewildered by this creation. It's just a reflection of reality. A bewildering world of names. Of different forms. Which are nothing but Tejo, Vari, Vidam. Earth, water, fire. Here we have this. This is earth, water, fire. We call it a table. Earth, water, fire. We call it a microphone. Earth, water, fire. We call it Narayani Dasi. We're bewildered by these forms. Reflection of reality. Reality is in the spiritual world. Prabhupada says the whole material creation, this is in second canto purport, is a jugglery of names only. In fact, it's nothing but a bewildering creation of matter like earth, water, and fire. Tejo, Vari, Mridam. That's the third line here. Buildings, furniture, cars, factories, industries, peace, war, highest perfection of material science, atomic energy, electronics are bewildering names of material elements with their reactions. Since the devotee of the Lord knows them perfectly well, he's not interested in creating unwanted things for a situation which is nothing but simply names of no more significance than the babble of sea waves. Prabhupada is telling us we have to know what is this creation, so we will not be bewildered by it. We have to know how to live here, so we will not be entangled by it. And we have to know how to get out of this. We have to find the reality. We have to find the truth, the spiritual world, and our place in it, and our relationship with Krishna. In the purport, paragraph 6, Srila Vyasadeva says that this manifested internal potency is real. This is the internal potency up here, picture. Whereas a temporary illusion is unreal. Only temporary illusory, like mirage in the desert. So this is a very interesting analogy, which I'd like to discuss further with the learned Brahmins in the audience. What does this mean? How can we understand this analogy of the mirage? Why is this compared to a mirage? Yes?
In the mirage, you see water.
Yeah, you see water.
That means water doesn't exist in the mirage.
Uh-huh.
It has to exist somewhere else, because otherwise you wouldn't see it.
Okay. So we see what we think is water. But it doesn't mean that the concept of water is false. the concept that water must exist somewhere because we're seeing water. Water must exist. Okay, well, what's another thing that we can understand about this analogy? That's a good point. Anything else about this analogy? Mirage. Why is it a mirage? Yes, Maharaj.
It's manifested and unmanifested. It continually changes.
Yes. Aka. Oh, very good. I can't repeat the Sanskrit, but he said that it continually changes. The mirage is always changing.
It's moving up. As
it's moving. Oh, this is good. This is very good. We see the mirage of water, and we go for it. And what happens? It goes further.
That's how the animal dies.
Yeah.
It runs after the animals, but it doesn't.
Okay.
Just suppose you.
Very good. So we're looking for happiness in this world. Just like in the desert, we're looking for water. We're looking for water. And we think we've found water, and we go for it. But it's not water. Something. It's an illusion. It's a mirage. So same way, in this material world, we're looking for happiness. And we go for it. And what do we get? Promise of happiness. Promise is there. We see, okay, here's the promise of happiness. Yes, you come a little further, a little further. You'll get happiness. Do we get? We get frustration. Anything else with this? Yeah.
It looks real, but there's no substance.
It looks real, but there's no substance. Right. Right. Yes. Looks real. Looks like there's happiness. But there's not. Anything else? Another thing Prabhupada used to say all the time. He said that in the desert, you may find some happiness. You may get a drop of water in the desert. If you get a drop of water in the desert, is that going to satisfy you? So same people. You may get some happiness, but it's just like a drop of water. Now we can understand the concept of desert. And this heat, when you go outside, you want water. And someone says, no problem, I'll give you, here's a drop. No, it won't satisfy you. We want an ocean. So ocean is there, but not here. Yes, Prabhu.
Yes.
Yes, the hope for enjoyment increases more when you see the mirage before you. Yeah, and you keep going. And what do you end? Prabhupada says, there's a Sanskrit word, pavarga. Hard work, parishram, fena, then byartata, that's frustration, bhaya, fear, ma, death, mrityu. So this is what we get. This is the mirage. What's that? Chapalasukha, yes, Chapalasukha. Yeah, that's what we get if we go that way. But we don't want to go that way. We want to go another way. Actually, in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when it describes the universal form, it is said that the most alluring, illusory material energy is, not women, it's the smile of the universal form. This is what we're going. Because it's Krishna, actually, there's Krishna's potency behind it. Therefore, we go for it. We're very attracted. It's a smile of Krishna in the form of his universal form. And if we're captivated by this smile of the Lord, Prabhupada says, those who are captivated by such alluring glances of the Lord are put under the direction of the controller of sinners called Yamaraj. So this is what happens. You get attracted. So there's a smile, but behind the smile, there's the teeth of Yamaraj. So the teeth of universal form, as soon as you go go for the smile, he starts chewing you. You get chewed. This is the problem. This is the problem with this material world. It's a very difficult place, especially if you're trying to enjoy. So, therefore, when we see this smile of the Lord, we hear the call of Maya. Prabhupada, one time, he was giving a lecture in New York, and they were hearing the bells of the ice cream truck down in the road. Prabhupada said, this truck is ringing and it's saying, come and enjoy, come and enjoy. Come and enjoy. Yes. So actually, real enjoyment is there. Spiritual world. So, with Krishna, this Bhagavatam, if we hear it properly, we will see the smile of Krishna and we will hear Krishna calling us, come and enjoy with me, the spiritual world. This is what Bhagavatam is trying to take us out of the illusion into reality. material energy is compared to a mistress of Krishna, he's not very attracted to. Real enjoyment is with Srimati Radharani in the spiritual world. So therefore, in the last line of this verse, it is said, Tamna Svena Sada Nirasta Kuhakam Satyam Param Dimahi. The spiritual world is revealed in Srimad Bhagavatam. It's a window to Goloka Vrindavan. This Bhagavatam will distinguish this Tejo Vardi Madang, this material world, from the holy Dham, from the spiritual world. We will hear this tomorrow. The Bhagavatam, this is the purpose to distinguish truth from illusion, to deliver us from this illusion, the mirage, which is the material world. Attract us to Krishna in the spiritual world. So here is the spiritual world. You can meditate on this. This is the first 40 chapters of the 10th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam. Spiritual world, revealed in Srimad Bhagavatam. I will just read you a description from Brahma Samhita, which describes this place. I worship a transcendental seat known as Shvetadeep, where everyone is loving Krishna, trying to please him. He's served by hundreds and thousands of Lakshmis, where every tree is a desire tree, where the land is Chintamani, all water is nectar, every word is a song, walking is dance, the flute is a favorite attendant, effulgence is full of transcendental bliss, the supreme spiritual entities are all enjoyable and tasty, where numberless milk cows always give transcendental oceans of milk, where there is eternal existence of transcendental time, who is ever present and without past or future and does not pass away even for a fraction of a moment. That realm is known as Goloka only to a very few self-realized souls in this world. Srimad Bhagavatam is bringing us to this. This is where we are going. This is our goal. Srimad Bhagavatam is going to reveal spiritual world. In the preface, Srila Prabhupada says, the only qualification one needs to study this great book of transcendental knowledge is, anybody read the preface? Sincerity, yes. Eagerness, desire. Nirmatsaranam satam, very good. Non-envious, yes Prabhu? Rapt attention, what is your name Prabhu? Madan Gopal Das. Okay. Yes, Prabhu? Yes. We must go step by step also. Yes, sincerity. These are all true. We'll hear a lot about this tomorrow. Qualification for hearing, Kriti B, many qualifications. Especially Nirmatsaranam, non-envious. So Prabhupada says here, qualification one needs to study this great book of transcendental knowledge is to proceed step by step, cautiously, and not jump forward haphazardly like with an ordinary book. It should be gone through chapter by chapter, one after another. The reading matter is so arranged with its original Sanskrit text, English transliteration, synonyms, translation, and purports. So one is sure to become a God-realized soul at the end of finishing the first 9 cantos. So if you have patience and you stay with us, you'll become, Prabhupada promises that you'll become a God-realized soul before you get to 10th canto. And then you'll be able to appreciate 10th canto nicely. Otherwise, it's medicine for those who are sick in this world. So, therefore, we have this Gayatri Mantra. Prabhupada says the 10th canto is distinct from the first 9 cantos because it deals directly with the transcendental activities of the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. One will be unable to capture the effects of the 10th canto without going through first 9 cantos. Therefore, Gayatri Mantra, to purify us. We have to become free from all misconceptions that we have about ourselves and Krishna. And the first 9 cantos will free us from all doubts, from all misconceptions. That's how it's arranged by Srila Vyasadeva. And then we'll be able to relish 10th canto. So this Mangalacharan, Vastu Nirdesh, is described in this verse, and Ashirbad will be tomorrow. We'll hear the benedictions you get from reading Srimad Bhagavatam. Namaskar is also today, his obeisances. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. The subject of the book is Lord Krishna, Vasudeva. Now one interesting thing, it might be a little difficult to pick up in this verse, but we'll see it if we take the 3 verses as a whole, that the principle of parampara is here. And we'll see it throughout the first 6 chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam. That Vyasadeva, he's worshipping his Ishtadev, he's worshipping his guru, And he's trying to get the mercy. He's very eager to get the mercy. But why is he eager to get the mercy? He wants to get it, but also he wants to give it. So he's got one hand up and one hand down. Up to Krishna and down to us. We'll see this repeated throughout the Bhagavatam. How the sages, how they're so concerned. Their questions reflect their concern. How they are worshipping their guru and how they're also trying to think for the fallen conditioned souls. Vyasadeva also. So the mercy is coming down through Parampara. Shri Vyasadeva is our original guru. We worship him on Vyasa Puja Day. And we will also try to enter into the spirit of Parampara, being very eager to receive this knowledge from Shri Vyasadeva. So now we have begun our meditation along with Vyasadeva, and later on we'll be meditating with Shukadeva. We'll be hearing from the sages of Naimisharanya and especially from Srila Prabhupada right from the beginning, so we can understand what's going on. So let us also beg for this mercy. Let's be eager for this mercy of Srila Vyasadeva. And at the same time, let us be eager, let us desire to give this mercy, to give this knowledge to others. So this is the spirit that we should study Srimad Bhagavatam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Are there any questions on, or comments, especially comments on this verse? Yes, Prabhu. It's the second verse. First verse is Om Atato Brahma Jigyasa. First, before we know the truth, we have to inquire. Now it is time. Now you're a human being. Om Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Now you can inquire about the absolute truth. Second verse tells you this is the absolute truth. Janmadhyasa yataha, from whom everything is emanating. Yes, Madhavendra Puri Prabhu. If you can tell me which paragraph. Fourth paragraph. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
4.
Yeah. Even other living entities being with individual.
Yes, yes. Okay.
So is it referring to other sages higher than Brahma?
Well, the first thing that came to my mind was not that. But it's described that there are demigods above Brahma who are prototype demigods that come along with Mahavishnu. And then when they expand into Lord Brahma, actually there's demigods who were there before Lord Brahma, and they prayed for the universal form to appear. At that time, Lord Brahma was not yet in existence. So it could be taken in that way, that these are the individual ones above Lord Brahma, or it can also be taken that there are all the liberated souls in the spiritual world. You know, this is only 1/4, that's 3/4. The point is that there are individuals. There are individuals who are existing everywhere, and Brahma is not the highest. Yes, Maharaj, you please answer. Yes, Mahadev. He's an individual.
Shiva.
Yes. Thank you, Maharaj. Anything else you'd like to say? Prabhu. Sankirtan Prabhu, that's your name? Okay, thank you. In the third verse, you're moving up now. That's very interesting. I'll bring up another point.
There's more.
Yes, there's more. At the end of Bhagavatam, it says, Narayana Rishi explained Bhagavatam to Narada. And we also know in the second chapter, the second canto, Brahma explained it to Narada. So there's so many ways. And I'll tell you what Gopi Pranadana Prabhu would say in this connection. When I ask him questions like that, he says, it's a different day of Brahma. It's a different kalpa. That's what he says.
Different kalpas. Different kalpas, Brahma does different things.
Yes. Every day he wakes up and he forgets everything, you know. And again, he has to create. Yes, Prabhu.
Harijwa.
So Bhagavatam is coming in many, many ways. Yes, Prabhu. Yes. And Vitura was so excited to hear from Maitreya. Prabhupada says he heard it many times already. He wanted to hear it again. Because it's always something new comes up. Something new, always. Yes. Divyambar. What is the question? What are the other forms? Vasudeva indicates the plenary portion. and all the different forms of the Lord being identical with Vasudeva are indicated in this text. Prabhupada says this text means this verse. Everything is indicated. Okay, I have an answer, but I want to consult my learned Brahmin friends here. Maharaj, would you like to answer that question? Okay, Brihat Madanga Prabhu.
You didn't tell us what paragraph it was.
First paragraph. Yeah. Yes, Madhavendra Puri Prabhu. Okay. Also. Yes. Also the first three verses. Also it's expanded from Chatushloki. Also from Vyasadeva's vision. So you have three places where it's expanded from. And this may also be in different kalpas, who knows. But actually, Bhagavatam is very deep. So you can see it on many different levels. And you can study it in relationship to the Mangalacharan, and you can study it in relationship to Chatushloki, or you can study it in relationship to Vyasadeva's vision, and you can see how they're the same, actually. When you actually study them together, you'll see how they're very similar. Very, very similar. You'll find Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojan in these verses, in all of them. Prashanta? Yes, well, Prabhupada explained that, you know, that it's a history, it's a Purana, but only the most important things are taken to put, not all this nonsense stuff that they make history nowadays. You know, every little thing. This you won't find in the Puranas. Puranas, you just find the very most important stories, most important events that happened, because it spans millions and billions of years. You can't say everything. And so you've got billions of years of history here. And so the most important thing is the Lord and his incarnations. Of course, there are many Puranas. So some of the other Puranas will tell other things. But this is the Amala Purana, spotless Purana. So here you will get only Krishna and his devotees. No? Yes, Sankirtan Prabhu. Yes, yes. Prabhupada knows what's behind the words.
The text in itself doesn't directly indicate Krishna.
No. Except for Satyam Param. Yeah. Okay, Maharaj, would you like to elaborate on that? For Srila Prabhupada, it's Krishna. Yes. For Srila Prabhupada, it's Krishna.
And he's the son of...
Son of... What's
the
name?
Actually, he's the son of...
Yes. Yeah. That's right. No use to get into this technical. But I thought there was something I saw when I was in the next room, Madhavendra Puri Prabhu, in your group, you had something up on the flip chart. It looked like a very interesting discussion there. Yeah. Would you like to bring that up?
Can you give some light on this one?
It's something about illusion, the Mayavadis, and Vedvyas. And
I brought up the point.
You brought up the point, okay.
Prabhupada says in the introduction that Mayavadis have introduced this theory of illusion.
Uh-huh.
And Prabhupada declares that not false, this world, but more non-permanent.
Non-permanent, right.
But as the day says in the opening, 1-1-1, you
Yeah.
That it is unreal.
Unreal.
That it is an illusion. So that
yes.
was our discussion.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that we can discuss about that point. So how is it that the Mayavadis say it's illusion and Vyasadeva also says it's illusion? How is it possible? How do we?
When Prabhupada had already rejected the Mayavadis.
Yes. Yeah. How is it possible that the Vyasadeva is saying it's like a mirage? In the desert? Prabhupada said it's like a mirage. How is it possible? Is this contradictory? What is the truth here in this point? Who can say? Yes? Right, there's a substance behind it. Okay, he says that when the Mayavadis use the term illusion, then there's no substance. And when we use the term illusion, there's some substance behind it. Okay, we know there's an energetic. Okay, that's very good. Yes, Sri Vrindavan Prabhu. Yeah, it's temporary. Divine origin.
Maya is real.
Mm-hmm.
That it's coming from divine origin.
Right.
That was real. We have to deal with it in the material world.
Okay.
We have to deal with it.
But there is an illusion. What is the illusion? Even for us, there is an illusion. There is some illusion here. What is the illusion for us? What is the, yes, Prabhu. What's your name? Mana Vanamali.
Enjoying the material nature.
Yes. Yes.
Originally,
to thinking that we can enjoy. This is the illusion. Thinking that we can enjoy separately from Krishna. This is the illusion. Yes, to think this is it. This is it. This is it. Of course, devotee looks at the world differently. He looks at even the material world. For him, it's a spiritual world. He has a different vision. So the Mayavadis, actually, they are under this illusion also, that it's because they want to enjoy Brahman. They say, so hum, I'm that. I want to enjoy that. I want to enjoy that oneness in the spiritual world. They're still an illusion. They also want to be the enjoyer. This is the big illusion, that we are the enjoyer and not Krishna. Yeah, so they also have this illusion. Prabhupada says they're also not free from illusion. Just the karmis, they have a... what did Prabhupada say? He said, materialistic person, he wants to be the president of a country or a nation or the world, but the impersonalist, he wants to be God. So this is a very big... He's a big mudha, Prabhupada said. The others are small mudhas, small rascals. But the impersonalist is a big mudha. He's a big rascal, because he wants to be in that position of enjoyer, God, enjoying the spiritual, the oneness. You know, this is also illusion. It's a very important point in our philosophy. And I think it's... Maharaj, would you like to also give us something from Chaitanya Charitamrita on that point? No? Okay. Rope for a snake and all that. Mistaking a rope for a snake. This is, you can look it up somewhere in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Mayavadi Krishna Aparati. This is the problem. We don't want to be Aparatis. Essay? Yeah, I got it. In your own words, explain the following statement from the purport of Srimad Bhagavatam 1.1.1. We're on page 26, question 6. The whole material creation is moving under the principle of sex life, whose reality exists in the spiritual world. The impersonalist philosophers have given indirect impetus, yes, to the abominable mundane sex life because they have overstressed the impersonality of the absolute truth. Consequently, man without information about the actual spiritual form of sex has accepted perverted material sex life as the all-in-all. Yes. Who would like to explain? Mahaman Prabhu. You gave a very nice explanation of this?
Yeah.
Okay, we would like to hear your explanation. Because it's our last chance. After this life, nirvana. You see? See? This is the impetus. There's no enjoyment in the spiritual world. There's no none of these things. There's no form. There's no food. Prabhupada says the Mayavadis in Bhagavad Gita, Mayavadis, they can't enjoy food. Somebody was telling me about this, Swami Narayan, that they cook their food with water so it's tasteless. So they're saying because they don't want to get attached to the food. Prabhupada says the devotees enjoy prasad. Only the devotees can enjoy this world because they take it as prasad. They take it as a mercy of Krishna. Yes.
But isn't the real matter?
No, but yes, yes. For the general mass of people, they say, oh, this is spiritual life? I have to do all these, you see? Yeah. We cannot do Brihad Madhavi Prabhu. Yes, Shankaracharya said, if you want to be free, you have to take sannyas. You can't study Vedanta unless you take sannyas. Okay, thank you for that comment. Prashanta, you had a comment? We don't have much time now, we're already over, so you can make it short. There is no, if they say, okay, spiritual world, no variety, everything's one, they'll think, hey, it's much better here. Why should I go there? I can enjoy, this is much more enjoyable. So that's why the impersonalists have given an impetus to abominable sex life, that they've said there's no enjoyment in this. I mean, basically they're saying if there's no enjoyment there, you better enjoy here. Basically. Okay, one last comment. That's funny. Yes, that's a good one. I never heard that one, but certainly true. It's certainly true. Okay, so we will stop here, and we will see you all again tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Vanchika.